But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hey, welcome back. Good to have you back with me today. Well, what I'm going to talk about today is finding the will of God for your life. Not the same as finding the purpose and plans God has for your life, but more the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? It sounds the same, but it's really two different things. So let me get to praying so we can jump in. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've given us in your word and all that you're revealing to us in this hour. You said that what is revealed to us is not just for us, but it's for our children and for the generations to come. And I just thank you for what you are doing right now in the earth, in this decade, in this century. And Lord, I pray that our ears would be open to hear what it is you would have to say to each of us individually, and that your spirit guides this teaching, that what is being said is what you want said, and that it glorifies you in every way. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for angelic visitation, for the ministering spirits that will come to speak to each of us, Lord, and for your guidance in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so finding the will of God for your life. Really key. So the first scripture I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you some Bible stories, and then I'm going to share some personal things with you. And then I'm going to give you a lot of scripture for you to read on your own, because it would just be too much for us to read every single one of these scriptures. I'll just pop them up on the screen. Take notes so you can go back and read the stories for yourself and just glean from that what God would say to you. So the first scripture I want to look at today is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And this is from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." So, I know sometimes it can become very difficult for us. Some people get into the process of analysis paralysis, where we're wondering, is this the will of God or not? Well, this scripture says, first and foremost, that the way for you to find the will of God is by renewing your mind through reading the Word of God. So by reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, the will of God will become clearer to you. And as we've said before, in the makeup of man, when you become saved, it is your spirit that becomes saved, but your body still needs salvation, your soul and your mind. Because as this says, your mind and even your body and your soul is basically focusing on what's in the world, which is superficial values and customs, as it says. So we need the Word of God to renew the way that we think, what's going on in our soul, the things that have happened to us, and also our physical bodies, right? So that we will be able to walk in the will of God. This is the only way, by reading the Word of God and meditating on God's Word. That is how you find the will of God. So I want you to, the other thing I want to point out from this is, I want you to picture it as this. As you're walking through life, there's really four positions you can take. One, you're in sin and disobedience, which means you're completely out of the will of God. Or you're in the will of God and you have three positions. When I read this scripture, I see three different things. Right at the end, it says, renewing your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, right? Some versions of the Bible say good, pleasing, and perfect. So we have three things here. And how I look at that is that there are levels. The good will of God, the pleasing and acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. And I believe between these three is where God gives us a choice. Because we're not perfect, and none of us, even after reading the Bible, meditating on the Word with much prayer, none of us is ever going to fully, for our entire walk in the Lord, stay at the perfect will of God. Generally, we're fluctuating between these three as our mind, body, soul, and spirit become more regenerated in God's Word. We tend to fluctuate between these three. And I'm going to give you some examples in the scriptures of this, of other people in the Bible that do the same thing. You're fluctuating. And then occasionally you fall into disobedience, which is sin, which pulls you completely out of the will of God. And I want you to think of sin as God just putting the pause button on your destiny and your future, because once you're in sin and disobedience, you're not in the will of God. So you're actually not walking towards your purpose, but more your purpose and destiny is on hold. He just puts it on hold until you repent and come back into the will of God, and then things start up again. So a lot of times, we are the ones that can actually create delays in our own life through sin and disobedience, which is not listening to what God has said and actually not following what's in the scripture. Okay, so when I think of like, how do you stay in the will of God? What are the things that keep you in the will of God? I see this as two things. Number one, your level of obedience to what God has said. That's going to be the first thing. And I see the second thing as your influence. What is around you? Who is in your circle, right? So this could be your friends. Who do you have as friends that are gonna help you to stay in God's will? Because, you know, when you have bad influences or you have people that will just pull you out of the will of God because they themselves are in disobedience, that's not good. And that doesn't encourage you to stay in that place. So your friends, in business, it's your business partners or your associates, if they're encouraging you to do things that are not legal or right. Three, ministry. Who's in your ministry circle that you're listening to, taking advice from, and also who's there to keep you accountable? Because, you know, part of ministry is accountability. We are not perfect. And so what happens is, no matter how much time we spend with the Lord or even in prayer or doing what we're doing, we always need to have someone, not a hater or somebody who's jealous, but somebody that can come and say, hey, look, you're not doing this right, or you're missing this, or this isn't going right, correct over here, or pay attention to this. You're always going to need that person around you or persons that you can trust to tell you when something is not right. And so at that moment, it requires humility on our part to say, okay, let me stop, look at this, pray about this, and see if, you know, they are right and I need to fix this. We need that, because we can't believe our own hype then, like we're so good that we can't miss it. It doesn't work like that. That would then be prideful. You know, I give prophetic words, and if God gives me something that's a warning, I have to judge myself by that word first. I have to stand and I have to say, is this in my life and do I need to address this for me first before I can even give that word to somebody else? Right? I think this is how we have to look at things, because we can't ever think that we're above God's warning or God's rebuke or God's judgment or God's discipline. No matter how good we are, how long we've been saved, I believe we need to take that position, right? So in ministry, we need accountability partners, people that'll tell you. So you got your friendship circle, you got people in business, and you have people in ministry, and then it's also your marriage. It's who you're married to, right? So your spouse can either help to keep you in that place, or they can draw you out of that place based on their own disobedience, or just they're not saved. So they don't understand it the way you do of walking in what God has said. So your obedience to God's word and who's in your circle is what helps you to maintain yourself in the will of God. So now, I said, in the will of God itself, you have the three positions, which is the good will of God, the pleasing and acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. So I want now to give you some example of what this looks like as we are walking in life, how we are basically moving in between that scale. And I want you to know that God wants you in His perfect will. But the pleasing will is also in the will of God, and the good will is also in the will of God. But I believe those areas is what He allows. If you ever heard God, people say, God allowed me to do this. There are many things God will allow you to do because it is in His will. However, it's not the perfect will, right? That's it. So,
something for example, like marriage.
Marriage is a choice, right? Because if you look through the Bible, there each of these marriages, a lot of times, especially in the Old Testament, you'll see this. One will pass away and then another wife will come into play, or there were choices. People had choices to make. So I believe marriage is one of those categories, actually even your friendship, any one of your friendship circle, that falls into that category of the perfect, the pleasing, and the good will of God. And this is why sometimes you will have people will pray and ask for confirmation on marriages, and they're like, God said, yes, I can marry this person. But then they get into the marriage and they realize that it's a struggle. It's a struggle to keep it going while still focusing on ministry or business, because that person, while God allowed it and gave confirmation, was not the perfect will of God, right? In every marriage, you're going to have bumps in the road. But I believe when you get to the person that God is like, this is the person that is written in your scroll in heaven that you're supposed to marry. This is my perfect will. I believe that person is already created to handle every instance or problem you'll come and face in your walk, to help you through that, male or female, okay? Yes. But when He allows you, or you step off of that perfect person and you choose someone else, it becomes harder for you to maintain the relationship or in the marriage. And if that person, for them, you are even at a lower scale, it's gonna become harder for you to stay in the marriage, because you have to fight to keep in the goodwill of God, because the step to the disobedience is just one step away. You get what I'm saying? Your marriage partner, it has a huge influence on who you are and whether or not you'll be able to walk out the purpose of God in your life. They have a huge influence on that. And I'm gonna share a little story here with you now that's like a personal story from people that I know that clearly shows the influence of the marriage partner. Okay, so there's this couple I know. They've been married for years and they're called to ministry in Haiti. They speak the language, that's where they're from originally. However, they have Canadian citizenship. They went to a ministry school and seminary outside of Haiti, and they have Canadian citizenship. They have 10 kids, and all the children have Canadian citizenship. So that means they don't have to stay in Haiti, but God called them there. That's where they were called to go. And they're both willing to be in that place. Okay, so 1 year, some years back, they got a call in the middle of the night, the husband, and he was told, you need to leave the country right now. They're coming to kill you and your entire family. Because apparently he preached something and the service is televised on television and they didn't like what they heard. So gunmen were coming to the house to kill him and his entire family. And they were told, don't even get on the highway because they know your vehicle and it's going to be gunshots. So they had to actually charter a helicopter in the middle of the night to pick them up in a field and just escape with what they were wearing and their passports out of there. And off they went to Canada, the entire family. So I saw them about, I want to say, a month and a half to 2 months after it happened. The wife was pregnant and she actually just gave birth. So that baby was less than 2 weeks old. And they were here on their way back to Haiti. And I was like, oh my gosh. I don't know. After going through such a traumatic experience of running for your life, to then you're going back in there, you know? And so I said to the wife, I'm like, how are you doing? How do you feel? And you could just tell she was just, it's not good. She just gave birth and she's having to go back there with her kids. And so she said to me, you know, she said, well, my husband had a dream and the Lord told him that I didn't call you to Canada. I called you to Haiti. So you need to pick up your entire family and go back there. Now, a different woman who is not his perfect person would have said, I'm not going. I can't go through this anymore. Leave the kids here. I'll stay here. You go ahead without us, okay? And then you come and visit us. She wouldn't go back with him, right? But this person was meant for that. He is at a different level in ministry, okay? The perfect will of God for their life is there. So it's not a comfortable situation, but when you're with the right person, that person will encourage you to stay where you're supposed to stay, as opposed to pull you out of it, out of the perfect will of God, and say something like, well, why don't we just stay here in Canada? Let's just start a ministry here. We don't have to go back there and deal with that. Leave it be, okay? This is what happened. The person is graced to deal with you in ministry at the level that you're at. So when you settle for someone on a pleasing or a goodwill, the minute the bump comes in the road or the issue or the problems of just life in general, they're more likely to pull you out into disobedience or at a lower level, accept something lower because it's easier. Okay? This is what happens. And so God will say yes to you sometimes for something that's less because you're still in the will of God. But it's not the most perfect situation or scenario for you. All right. So who you have in your circle, it's important for you to ask the Lord, is this your perfect will for me? Okay. Now, I'm not saying, say, for example, that you are already married to someone that you are sure it wasn't God's perfect will for you because you're struggling every single day. I'm not saying that God still can't use you in that place. He can. It's just going to be harder for you. You're going to have to work harder to stay at the level that you were called to for your purpose, right? You're going to have more work to do. It's going to be harder for you to stay there. That's what I'm saying. And you can still do it just with a harder struggles, okay? Now, I want to, and just some examples of that in the Bible. The story of David and Bathsheba. Now, it says, I'll put the scripture up on the screen, that it was in the spring and kings were supposed to be at war, but David didn't go to war, he stayed home. So right away, he's not in the perfect will of God of being at war, he's at his house. He's now at the pleasing will of God. He spots Bathsheba and he wants her. And instead of praying to God about it, because she was already married to somebody else, he decides that he's gonna go have an affair with her, right? And then he puts her husband in the line of battle where he gets killed, because his whole intention was to get this woman. So now he's in disobedience. Now, Bathsheba could have said no. Couldn't she? Yes, she could have. But she encouraged that. She encouraged that behavior. So right away, bad influence. Anyway, the Lord went silent on David for a whole year. And the prophet Nathan had to come to him and say, look, you committed this sin and you need to repent. David repented, which restored him back into the will of God. Okay, so now he can hear the Lord again. But there were consequences to that sin in that the Lord took the child that she was pregnant with, this one that was conceived in the adultery. Now, you flip over to someone else, another wife, Abigail, who was also married to someone else at the moment when he met her. And he was going to kill her husband, not to get her, but for another thing, another reason. And she comes out and she says to him, oh, no, don't do this. This is the wrong way to go about this. You know, you're going to end up putting yourself in sin by going after him. Okay, just leave it be. Let me apologize for him and you go. She stops him from putting himself in a position to fall into disobedience. That's a different influence. And at the moment when she does that, her husband, all by himself and through the will of God, dies 10 days later. Okay, God removes him. And then David says, you know what? You're the person I want in my life, because obviously you have the ability to stop me from doing something stupid, right? That's what I'm talking about, is that we have to look at our circle. Who's in your circle? Because that is really going to help you to stay in the will of God. And this is not always going to be the yes man. Sometimes it's going to be that person that'll challenge you and point out when things are not right for you to just stop and listen and say, okay, let me pay attention to this. Right? Okay. Now, let's look at like a story of Abraham and Lot. So the Lord told Abraham to leave his family and go to a land that he would show him. So when Abraham was going, the Lord had yet to tell him, here's what I'm really giving you. Now, Abraham left, and you would think that's great. He's in the perfect will of God, but he wasn't, because he didn't leave all his family. He took Lot with him. his nephew. So right away, he steps into the pleasing will of God. But God allows it to happen because he's still in the will of God, because he's going. It's just he took someone with him that shouldn't have been there. So Lot comes along, and so he's down here now. Now, there's a famine in the land, and he decides to move from where God has told him to go, and he's in Egypt. Now we have moved from the pleasing will of God down to the good will of God, okay? Because God didn't say to him, you're going to sin. Don't go there. He allowed it because, yes, there was a famine. Yes, he needed food. But now he's sliding now, isn't he? Now he's in the good will of God. You're at the bottom. You're at the bottom now, right? He goes to Egypt. He gets scared for his life. He's thinking, oh, they're going to kill me and take my wife because she's so gorgeous. Let's just go ahead and lie. So he tells his wife to lie and say she's not his wife. She's his sister. So what just happened now? We just went from the goodwill of God into total disobedience for the lie. And the following morning, the Pharaoh is like, why are you lying to me? Tell you what, pack up your stuff and leave. Go back where you came from. So look at this now. The enemy was the one that pushed him back into the will of God, right? Yes. So he leaves Egypt and he goes back. Back into the perfect will of God? No, because he still had Lot with him. So Lot is still there, but now at least he's back in the will of God, right? As he's there, God brings it about where it's like, you need to part with Lot. So now there's a separation of the two. Lot goes his way and Abraham is all by himself. And the most amazing thing happens at that moment. It is at that very moment that the Lord says, now let me show you the entire land I'm about to give you. Because when Lot was with him, God only allowed him to see a part of the land. So he thought it was just east and west. So Lot is like, I'm going to take this and you take that. Good. Once Lot is gone, the Lord is like, no, it's not just east and west, it's north and south too. So he ended up getting more. Once he stepped into the perfect will of God, the Lord was able to reveal to him a bigger plan. His vision was able to expand. And so this is what happens sometimes is when we have the wrong alignments, God cannot show us what he actually has for us, right? He can't. So the separation caused him to get a bigger vision. And now he's moving at a higher level. Now let's flip the coin now and look at Lot's life, right? Lot, as we now know from the very beginning, should not have gone with Abram. So you have someone, perhaps he was allowed, he may have still been in the will of God, or perhaps he was in disobedience from the very beginning. I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that. You can look at it and you make the determination there. But the point is, Lot was aligned with Abram. Abram is walking in the will of God. As a result, Lot's life was also blessed because he's connected to another person that's in the will of God. So his life starts to get blessed. Okay. Now, what happened when the separation took place? Once the separation took place, now Lot has to live his own life and be obedient in his own life because he's no longer attached to this person over here, Abram. And his life starts going downhill super fast. He goes to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. He shouldn't have been there. It was a terrible decision. To the point where God comes to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and doesn't even tell Lot. Because Lot now is in that silence mode, kind of like what happened to David. You're in disobedience. So God isn't even talking anymore. He says it to Abram. Abram is the one that said, hey, let's save Lot. Let's not let him perish in that city. So they send angels to go and get Lot out. The angels go. The wife, Lot's wife, she doesn't want to leave there. Again, his marriage partner is like, oh, we should stay. Okay. She turns into a pillar of salt. So it's all disobedience and downhill from there. He leaves with his two daughters. And end of story, he ends up in an incestuous relationship with his daughters. It's who he has around him. His environment is not right. So the separation of the two men saw one going up, Abram, and the other one going down, Lot, further into disobedience, because now he's not connected with that person anymore to say, that's not right what you're doing. It's going off here. You should watch yourself. Okay? So that's just to give you an example that this area of perfect, pleasing, and good, God will allow you to float into that place and still make destiny, still get to your purpose. The disobedience hits the pause button and you're going nowhere. And how you stay there is by obeying the word of God and doing what he tells you to do. And then number two, watch your circle. Watch your circle. And so that is the teaching for today. I hope that you're able to get something out of this and that God is going to use it to help you to see where you are, what changes you need to make, how you can navigate in between there. I mean, obviously, when you're going for the perfect will of God, the decisions are going to be harder. And they're not going to be comfortable. But I believe if you're in the right environment, if you have the right people around you to encourage you to do that, then you're able to stay there, right? Now, I know some of you may say, I don't have any friends around me. Can I tell you something? You're in a good position. Because if God is the only person you're talking to and hearing from, that's a good place to be. I know sometimes you might feel like, I wish I had more friends. I wish we all want that. And God wants us to have those relationships. But there are times and seasons when it's not a bad thing to be alone. Perhaps God wants to be your only influence. And if he's your only influence, you're not going to miss it. So enjoy that moment and that time with him, being the only one that has your ear and your attention. Okay, so let me pray and get us out of here. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for all these examples that you have given us and shown us. And I just ask that you would help us to walk in your perfect will. I pray that you would surround us with the right friends. For those who are single, that they're going to choose wisely who they allow to be their influence in their spouse. For those who are in business relationships, that you will help them to align themselves with ones that are going to do things that are right and ethical and legal in every way. And I just ask that you would also align them in ministry and in churches that are walking in your will and doing things in your way. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance. Thank you for angelic assistance and those that you send to open doors for us in the right direction and also to close the doors that need to be closed in our lives, Lord, that'll send us off path, out of your will, and put the pause button on our purpose. I thank you, Lord, for the hedge of protection that is around us, Lord God, and for making things clear, for removing deception, and allow us to see the truth, your truth, as we walk through life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so remember, check the link in the description box for the study guide, and I'll see you next time. Bye.